Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to Chinwag with Cozzy.
Everybody's talking at me.
The next time I see you, remind me not to talk to you, will you?
Now it is 28 to 11, and having a chinwag today with a gentleman I've been looking forward to so long. He won a race at Gosford there towards the end of the year with Kiss. And Jeff Penn's got the money on it, and I speak of the Reverend himself, Evan Holland. Morning, Evan.
How are you? All right.
I'm good. Now, which do you actually prefer, Evan or the Rev?
Everyone. Ray Murray, he knows me as the Rev.
That's...
Rev, he said, you're 80 years of age now, and he's... tucked his hand around his chin and said, I don't think you'll better ride anymore, Frank.
Ray had a yarn to the Rev and said, you better rack the queue as far as track work riding goes.
Yeah, after 3 new knees, a broken leg and a broken fibula, whatever you call it. I've never had a sickness in my life until I turned, just about 78. Yeah, never had a sickness in my life. You know why?
Why?
Born, Warrialda, New South Wales, up near Moree.
Yeah, I know where it is, out near Gundy Way.
That's right. 3 sisters and 4 brothers.
Yeah.
Dad was a carpenter, building houses. Mum was a home jerseys, right?
Yep.
We are the Rose family. They came out on the first fleet with 14 college women and spread throughout the country. And that's about it, yeah. So I started riding my grandfather's mail-run horses at 7 years of age.
Out around Warrialda Way?
Yep, you betcha. Long Street, Warrialda, yep.
Now, did you live in the town itself, Rev, or were you on a bit of land?
No, in the town. More or less. Oh, just over the river.
Yeah?
Just over the river, mate, yeah. As I say, we're pretty good. I'm 81, but all the girls reckon I'm only 50. You know?
Well, you're only a spring chicken. There's a bit of life in the old dog yet, I reckon.
You bet your life, son. The doctor said, you'll live another 15 years, Rev. I said, dude, you're going to leave me here at Wyong Race Course on my own. They'll all be dead.
Now, listen, you just run through the replacements, the knees and things. You went through that. It was like a bloody shopping list. You went through it a bit quick for me. What have you had replaced and broken?
3 new knees.
Yep.
Right. A broken leg and a fibula.
Well, you've had a fair crack around the southern part of the body. You've given it a hiding. Has that been falls or what's happened? Just wear and tear?
Wear and tear, mate, yeah. Wear and tear. That, they call us the Hollands the workaholics.
Now, you're at Warrialda. That's where you grew up, and obviously you learned to ride there. And
that's right, yeah.
Learned in the bush, you learn everything.
You learn everything, yeah, mate. Well, we're bred up on fish, yep. Rabbits, and hot milk out of the cow's tit.
Yeah, and that would have been right. That would have been right too. You probably grew all your own veggies and things, did you?
Yeah, my word, yeah. A great time there. We had a great time there, climbing trees with a tomahawk.
And Rev, you probably were as poor as church mice, but happy and healthy.
I don't forget, I never had a pair of shoes. The dad used to make us wooden shoes with leather straps across them.
Feeling them like clogs.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, like the Dutch clogs, yeah.
Now, I read somewhere where you rode at a race meeting at Gundawindi, which is only over the border.
Yep.
And you're on one, you shot 15 clear in the straight.
No, that was up at Winton.
At Winton, was it?
Yeah.
Now, tell us about that, and tell us about the bloke who went past you. Take us through that race, Rev.
He was an Aborigine.
Yeah.
Thin as a rake he was, you know, and as he went past... He had no boots on.
So, what sort of saddle was he riding in?
He was riding in a funny-looking saddle. Saddles are pretty big them days. They're streamlined down like the other day. Yeah, I'll never forget that. And you wouldn't believe it, my horse bled, and he laid down on the ground, and the bookmaker then he come out with his white shirt on with ice in it and put it on his neck, you know, to save him. Yeah. Mr. Bullfinch, his name was, yeah.
So you thought you were home for all money?
Oh, God, yeah, mate, yeah. It was a setup. I was training him too. with no license.
And then this young Aboriginal boy sprays past you, riding bare feet and give you a toweling.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, we were brought up with Aborigines at Warrialda. The old granny used to work for mum in the house, and the husband used to do the yard and the chopping the wood and all that. And she used to get us on our lap and give us a titty bottle, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, we reared up with them. Good people, man. They're good people, mate.
And you know what? Brilliant horsemen too, a lot of them.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. They've got a whisper about them. I don't know what it is. whisper to a horse, yeah. That's what I've learned. I've learned that whisper business. Be kind to your horses. As my brother, the horse trailed on me tail there at Kensington one day, and Tiger said, don't hit the horse, he said. If you discount the 50 and the pain will go away. I said, like hell, Tiger. I never get that. Yeah. But anyway, those families spread out. I started riding my grandfather's mail run horse at 7 years of age.
Yeah.
Will I go through it for you now?
Yeah. And I'll pop in and ask a few questions on the way, because I'm fascinated. Warrie Elder, when did you leave Warrie Elder?
At the age of 7, I think. Was it 7? Yeah.
So where did you go to, Rev, from there?
Sydney.
Yep.
Yeah, Sydney, yeah. CB Chambers, CB Chambers in Sydney, Castlereagh Street.
Yep.
Yeah, there were 7 of us in there in one room, mate. Yeah. I ended up saying to Dad, what'd you bring us down to this darn place for? He said, for a better education. I said, we sure are getting one.
Yeah. So was that the reason why you... How did your dad go getting work? I mean, coming from Warrie Elder in the bush, I suppose he was a carpenter, so he'd be able to get work?
Well, he was down there in the wharf there building those big frames for the storage of the petrol and oil.
Yeah.
On the water line there, yeah. He had plenty of work. My word, he was, yeah.
7 of you living in the one room?
Yeah, for a while until we moved to... we moved there to, what's the name of the place? Near Oxford Street there. Anyway, we moved there in a two-story place there, and then out to Coogee, and then into Barker Street, Randwick, yeah.
Now, obviously moving to Randwick, how did the attraction to race riding come about? I mean, obviously you'd had a bit of fun in the bush, Warrie Elder and those places.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't you worry about that. As soon as we come off the mail run with Grandfather, he used to do the mail run down to Palamala War and all that. I was only young, 7.
Mm.
Seven, and he hit the sulky through, and you have to get that gate closed, otherwise you miss the run train, mate. You have to run like hell to jump on that bloody wagon. Anyway, but from there to Sydney at 8 years of age, into my first stable at 10 years of age.
Whose stable was
Hall,
that?
Trainer, Randwick, then to Sid Thomas, Randwick, and then to Norm Brown, Randwick, And I tell you what, mate, my life started from there, mate. I'll tell you, 108 Barker Street, Kingsford, I lived in. Yeah.
Now, Rev, did you always want to be a jockey, or was it just something that came about?
No. It's coming up on these pages here in a minute. Yeah. Unbelievable. Anyway, riding horses along the tramway lines for Norm Brown from Kingsford to Maroubra.
Yeah.
At the age of 11. Road work at Rosebery, Ascot, you know, the mascot terminal.
Yeah.
There was a race course, Ascot. Old Billy Gander used to sit on a bloody bit of timber there, yeah. Victoria Park, right? Randwick itself. Deegan in Brisbane, I rode there, yeah.
Did you ride? They used to run ponies at those meetings too, Rev, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Did you ride any of the pony meetings?
No, I didn't know. No, I was only on race horses, slow ones, yeah.
Yeah, mainly the gallops. Then, in the bush in Queensland, did you start off as like a picnic rider and then get your license?
That's right, yeah, picnic rider, yeah. Up to Toowoomba and all that, you know, 800 metre races and all that. Then I went to Joe Stableton, Big Joe, he's 18 stone, he's a rats at a book soldier.
Mm.
And his brother was 2SM, he was the boss of 2SM, you mean?
Really, the radio station?
Yeah, 2SM, yeah, Joe Stableton, yeah. And he rode a pony, you'll see it at a crevice in his back like 18 stone, mate, poor.
Like a swayback, was he?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, but he made him a swayback, yeah. And now, then, finally, he sent me to Charlie Munro, Adamstown, Newcastle. Now, here's the one you'll like.
Yeah.
To be apprenticed at the age of 14 years. My third ride was in the Cameron Handicap on imitation, the gelding.
Yeah.
I run fifth. It's up there in the Hall of Fame. I was the only apprentice jockey to ride at the age of 14 years and 9 months in history. They made a mistake in my birth.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah. Johnny Wade lent me his boots, right?
Yeah.
And he's, his boots and silks. And my mother made me a cravat, you know, a cravat.
Yeah. So you didn't even have the gear?
No. I run all the way across the parks to get me a big lead bag that my father set me up. I've still got it to this day, yeah.
How much lead? What did you weigh then, Rev?
47 kilos. And it's coming up now. Yeah, mother made me crap on the neck. My weight went beyond me, so back to Sydney, and started work after study to be a male nurse to look after TB patients at the Ramick Hospital. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, would you
last,
with the Reverend Evan Holland?
Yep.
So the weight got you. That was the problem when you were apprentice?
I went to 6 stone. I'm still 6 stone today. You know that? All my life I've been 6 stone.
Yeah? Yeah.
60 kilos, I'm sorry.
60 kilos, yeah. And you went up, it was just obviously too heavy to ride.
Yes, I made you here.
So did you become a male nurse, Rev?
Yeah, become a male nurse there at the hospital. I only lasted 12 months, though, you know. Because I was a bit wiggly. I was on the move all the time. I wanted to be on the move all the time. Well, God, I can ride a 50. I can't ride a book. Otherwise, they'll put me out for life.
you mean what? You'd have to die the day after it was published, Rev?
Yeah.
If you tell the truth.
I started work. At Ramick Hospital, that's the only 12 hours. Then to ICI Botany. You know ICI Botany?
Yes.
It took me one night. The foreman thought I worked so well when I was a big guy's labourer. He said, "Oh, come up here to the plant. I want you to operate this plant. I'll teach you." And I went there one night. I stayed there 4.5 years shift work, ICI, the big salt plant, you know, operating, making the brine, the hydrogen and all that sort of thing, caustic. And from there, I went to Freighter Industries, the semi-trailer people manufacturers. I was on the counter there for 14 years.
Jeez. Now, how did you get back training, though? I mean, your brother Tiger was training. Was he training and then said, "Hey, Rev, come and join me," or what happened?
No, he was up there. I've got that story on another page for you, which is very interesting. It's going to lighten up a few things. And it'll be good, but I'm nearly
finished now. I'd love to read your book, Rev, if ever you write one. I want to see it, I tell you.
Yeah. 14 years at Freighters. I built a two-story home at Campbell Street, Clarebelly. Took 18 months, brick by brick. Sold it for a good sum. I want to...
Sold it for
a nice unit at Coogee, which I and my wife, Margaret, own. It's worth about $900,000, I reckon. Yeah. $900,000 here. Anyway, I can't spend that anyway. It's too late in life for me to do that.
Oh, you'd have a bit of fun. You'd have a crack at it.
Anyway, we go to page four. Right, familiar. Right, here is a story of two. I owned, now listen to this one, this is a good one.
Yep.
I owned Gunn's End.
I know, very briefly.
Yep, my word. I owned him for 3 months. He comes from Breeza, the 92-year-old McNamara, Mac. I said, take him, and when he wins, send me a check after getting bogged twice in the winter there with me spare parts in the back of Freighter Industries. I said to the owner, Mac, I will pick him up after the wet. Mm. You know, goes. But along comes John Cliff with his float and picked up two Sunset Ewe colts for the Brisbane sale. He said to Mac, what are you going to do with that grey? He won't come and get him. Put him on the float. Brisbane he went to, so 1,700 guineas. I lost him.
You would have had more than a couple of units of Coogee now if you had guns in, Rev.
Well, anyway. Well, here it comes now. I had a couple of horses at Tamworth, at Johnny Cliff's place, for my own broodmares, right?
Yeah.
Took out my licence in 1991. Trained at Canterbury, then moved to Rose Hill when they moved to Rose Hill. I had... won 18 races, 33 placings with only 4 horses.
Goodness.
Yeah, because I love my horses, they're my children.
Now I've
and run on every track. Ramwick, Warwick Farm, Canterbury, Gosford, Wyong, Tyree, Mudgee, Double, Narra, Kemble, Newcastle, and Cessnock.
Now, Rev, you were born Evan Holland. You got the nickname Rev, the Reverend. I believe that was from one of the blokes at the track.
That's coming up. That's coming up. I can't mention certain names, but I'm going to tell you why he called me the Reverend.
Why did he call you the Reverend?
Well, he was going to the Barrow Trials at Ramick, right? And your boxes over there, you set out for your own boxes, right?
Yeah.
When he gets there with a horse in each hand, there's someone in his box with horses. And he asks kindly, "Oh, mate, they're my boxes. You're going to get out of there and move around the corner where your horses are." And the bloke said, "Go and get so-and-so, you know." I said, "I'll go and get the stewards, I'll move you." So he went around the block of the stalls, and when he came back, the bloke had gone. So, you know, he tied his horses up and all that, and all he'd done was walk about a metre, And the bloke king hit poor Tiger.
Yeah.
And down Tiger went. Well, that bloke disappeared, didn't he?
Now, what did you do?
Well, we went to where he sleeps, got two chaff bags, put all his clothes and everything in it, give him a bit of a touch-up, found out what time the train was leaving for Melbourne, a couple of hours later, and we put him on the train.
You put him through the Attitude Adjustment Program, Rick.
Haven't seen him since. And I hope he's listening.
Yeah. Is he well known? Would we know him?
No, he's only a strapper.
Strapper,
yeah.
Did you just give him a little bit of a touch up and on the train and see you later, mate?
Yeah.
Hit him on the bum of the bridle.
Yeah.
So how did you cop the Reverend? Was it the
him? Well, that Tiger called me. He said, God, so I am the Rev, the Godfather of Mafia. That is another story.
Now, Tiger used to, from a report I saw, he always used to be mounted up on a white pony quite often at the track.
Oh, yeah,
and
maybe.
One day you have ridden a thing that would pull a train, and Tiger wasn't there.
He was across the road in his house upstairs with the field glasses on me and the talkie to the bloke on the pony.
Yep.
What his name was. And I'm going around on Jaholi. And no one could ride them. Betty and Tiger love me to ride the bad horses, you know. I set them down. It's all my hands, mate, all my hands and talking to them, you know. You never hit them. If they do something wrong, you pat them.
Yep.
You never hit a horse. Do not hit a horse. That's my wing. And anyway, I goes around twice. He can pull, mate, the grey. He was in on the Wednesday too, which he would have won. Jaholi. And I'll go around a second time with... air was a bit, you know, mucky, you know, all that sort of thing. And he sings out to me, a little bloke on the pony, he sings out, Alex, he sings out on me, Tiger said, can you go around again? I said, oh, no. Anyway, I go past, and I said, it's funny, that horse's ear. I can only see one ear. You know, a bit of fog, see?
Yep.
And I get around, as I pull up, turn around, his bridle fell off.
Oh, jeez.
And he bolted. And I said, I can't get off here. I'm going to kill myself. So I done a dive, just like I dived in the water. I landed all right in the sand. Anyway, he went up towards the winning post, you mean, backwards. And one of Cummings' horses was coming down the straight, and he dived away from it, went through the fence and impaled himself right through the body.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You were lucky you weren't still on board.
I know, yeah.
You would have been killed.
Yeah, he used to get me to ride Affamoth and all them, you know, all them horses that were, he couldn't handle, you know. I got them going. Yeah.
Now, Rev, I'm going to mention the name of a bloke. You used to help him out and keep an eye on him. And he'd had a bit of bad luck. Life hadn't worked out well for him. Mick Maloney.
Yeah, mate, he was here with me, yeah. He was here first on board with Wayne Seon's horses. He's doing first, then come to me, or vice versa. Wayne Seon's a lovely bloke trainer here. He's looked after me. And he had his two little children here, Mick and Mike. And I used to measure them as they grew, you know. Mm. And they used to come here at 3:30, 4:00 in the morning. They used to go to sleep in the two long chairs I had in the room and downstairs. And anyway, then we used to give them breakfast, get them to school. And I said to the little fellow, I said, who dressed you? He had his pants on back to front. He said, Dad did. But Mick loved his cigarettes and loved his drink. Yeah?
Yep.
He'd do anything for you. And he'd ride anything too, don't you worry. He'd ride anything. He didn't care how bad they were. Anyway, what happened then is that the two little boys were hard to handle, but they're all right with me, Uncle Rev. They're all right with Rev. They didn't want to leave Rev. So he goes shopping this night, and he's coming back, and he's crossing a railway line. Right?
Mm.
And he took them across the railway line just behind the stables here, put them on their side, and then he went back to get the groceries, and they got a train up here they call Silent Ned. You can't hear it. And that's when he went back to get the groceries. He never made it across the line. He just made it sort of his body. Got him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, mate, got him. Oh, unbelievable, I tell you. Unbelievable. Why should a man go like that? God.
That must have been a kick in the guts because you used to look after him, and also the little fellas as well, the two young children.
Oh, the little fellas, yeah, they used to get on the chaff bag, which way to stop them, they, with the whip, and they built the chaff bag, because it was a busted chaff bag. Oh, they had little doors to that, climb a roof, anyway,
Now, Rev, I've got to ask you, you said you'd love to write the book, and by the sound of it, you've written a fair bit, you got a lot of info there. Some of those picnic meetings in Queensland around the border must have got up to some mischief at some of those.
Yeah.
Come on.
But how about this one, too? When I was at Charlie Munro, he used to put me in a stand rail every afternoon with the staff, blokes.
Yeah.
Boxing gloves on. And I didn't knock them out, but I beat them. And then he used to jump in the damn stand rail and says, come on. I said, no, boss. And I throw one and hit him, and then he go bang. Down I went. And I fought on the card Alfie Sands. Remember Alfie Sands?
They were good boxers, Sands.
Yeah, I was on the next card, Alfie Sands. Yeah, I was on the next card in the stadium fighting. Yeah.
Oh, geez,
too quick for that.
Chin Wagon with Evan Holland, the Reverend Rev. You've had a crack at everything. How old are you now?
81 coming up next month.
81. How old were you when Ray Murray rubbed his chin and said, I think you better pull the pin?
Just on 2 years ago, yeah.
So you were 79, still riding work?
Yeah.
But one thing, have you had both knees replaced?
No, only the left one. I caught the first one myself when I was at Rose Hill. It was aching. Yep. And, you grab your ankle and push your leg it hurts. So bang. Yep. Oh, dude, what did I do here? Yeah, that was it, yeah. But I trained for a doctor, Professor Bernie Hudson of the North Sydney Hospital, the infectious disease man. He just come back from America. I trained four horses here for him. I trained all his horses. And he saved my life, my leg coming off. They wanted to take my leg off.
Yeah.
And Dr. O'Kane, which is a woman, she was in there and helped us. And Dr. Hunter from Gosford Hospital put the leg in. A beautiful job, absolutely beautiful job. Dr. Hunter and his offsider put it in, and they saved me leg. I'll tell you what, they were going to take it off. Don't you worry about that.
You've been damn lucky.
I think I can tell this story. I was in a hospital, see?
Yeah.
I'm in a private room. And they came in and they told me, well, we might have to take the leg off if that, I got the bug. Bad bug. It grows like a lawn in your leg.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I got the bug, see? But the doctor saved me through this antibody. I'm only the boys the rest of my life, morning and night, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I said to him, might have to take the leg if this don't work when we open up. I said, well, you see that bag down there near the door? I said, I've got some telecom rope in there. And I said, that's what I'm going to use if you're going to take my leg off. Oh, they raced over, got the bag looking for the rope. Hang myself. There's no rope in there, though.
You were just pulling their leg.
Well, I was a five-star patient there at North Sydney and Wyong and...
That's a little larrikin.
Yeah, I've never pressed a button once for pain. How do you like that?
Fair thing. You must have no nerves.
Yeah. I made myself a martyr because all the girls were nice. Oh, boy, they were nice.
So you're just chatting the Sheilas up. That's all you're doing?
Oh, you bet your life, mate. You bet your life. Oh, mate, they were lovely, mate, yeah.
Now, Rev,
the doctors there, they're marvellous, mate. They're great people. They are great people.
Now, I notice you haven't got any horses nommed at the moment, but you've got a couple that you've been racing over the last few months, Wedding Kiss, Hanzaki, and Al Kavan, Prince
High.
Right.
Now, Al Kavan only came in last Thursday with Prince High. I had a Prince High, won a lot of races in Sydney. Tracy Bartley won on him, and they all won on him. And Beaver Schofield is up here with me. I brought him up here. And he's a trainer, and he rides Al Kavan and Prince High work for me. He's a bloody good track record rider.
Yeah.
He can tell you all about yours. And they're in now. They've come back after 3 months' spell. And you wait till the rain comes for Al Kavan, first up.
We'll be looking for that.
Yeah, and Prince High, he's had, six starts? I think six starts, the second, two thirds, the fourth. He wasn't ready for any of those races. He's a stayer by Green Ballot.
Now, with Al Kavan, will the Redmond be taking a little bit out of the plate to have on as well?
Yeah, I own the both of them, see? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the doctors gave me 49% of all his horses. How you got to look like that, eh?
Not fantastic. Bad. Now, that's brilliant, Rev. I mean, how long do you reckon you're going to train for? You're 81. You sound like you're 21.
Yeah, I'm not going to retire. I was on Channel 10, and I said on Channel 10, they asked me, why are you doing this, Rev? I said, well, I'm not going home to sit in a rocking chair for someone to ring and someone to knock on the door.
I'm going down, mate.
I'm going down my way.
Yeah, I saw a lovely quote, I think, where you said that the trainers, they basically just die when they're doing nothing.
You're
better off keeping going. Just keep whacking away and enjoy life.
Yeah. Well, here's a nice little story for you. This is a beautiful story that's never been told.
Yeah.
And I think the racing industry might be interested in it. Nothing bad.
Yeah.
Mr. Comans was the for licenses Ramick, where I got my license.
Yeah.
Well, Betty Lane now and Tiger. You ready?
Yep.
Betty Lane was the first lady trainer to the racing industry.
Yep.
And they said when Betty tried, we don't allow women trainers. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Betty tried again and won. Got to go to the country. And said, Betty, trainer, Tiger, jockey, settled in Geary, right?
Yep.
Geary. Won the premiership 3 years in a row as jockey and trainer. There I go.
Fantastic.
Then moved to Sydney, Kensington Stables, and had good winners. Smoky Jack, second to Manicato, and the Golden Slipper, and many other winners.
It's a great
and
trainer.
My little brother passed away for one reason. He used to feed himself in the stomach with a chew. He didn't want to lose his voice.
Mm.
They said, we've got to take your voice box so you can eat. He said, no, I'll have the tube, you mean? But this is a bad story. It's not mentioning any name. The story goes, he, Tiger, wanted to go to Melbourne. He went to a trainer for over the hurdles.
Yeah.
Certain people put him on a bad horse, because he's Tiger cheeky little bugger, and ended his career. As a jockey. Broken neck, leg, and everything. Now, the little bone behind the neck, that's where it all come from. It rotted away, right? And that's to cause his death.
Mm.
My little brother passed away after doing 12 months as a trainer. Of course, Betty retired. But I tell you, matey, it's a wonderful thing. He always wanted to be like his big brother, he said. The story goes, I am here at Wyong and doing well. If I had 20 horses in work, I'd be leading trainer. I train for Professor Bernie Hudson myself. And I train for the Japanese people with Wedding Kiss.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, Rev,
yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure, a delight to have a chinwag with you this morning. It's so good to see you so fit still and enjoying your horses.
I'm good. I'm sitting here outside the stables here on a rocking chair.
I think I'll ring Ray Murray in a moment and tell him you're back riding work tomorrow, the way you're going.
I would say, let me go back. I can go back to water, but the doctor said, if you do your leg in, he said, you've got a Meccano set in there. If you do your leg in, your leg's got to come off.
Exactly. Well, Rev,
two things he said, don't fall over. He didn't say about anything else.
Yeah.
He didn't say about push-ups. Anyway.
Jesus, we'll stand you at stud the way you're going.
Yeah, I'd have been a destroyer. Yeah,
Rev, I think we better go before I get into strife here. Absolute pleasure.
Anyway, I've got a lovely wife, that's the main thing.
That's it, and you're enjoying life.
Yeah, she's down there in Sydney and Coogee Beach, lovely place. She said, I want to die here, darling. She said, you go and do your horses. I ring her every day, anyway.
Good on you. Rev, been an absolute pleasure to chat with you this morning, mate. Thank you.
Well, I'll keep in touch with you. I'll let you know where I'm going if I'm going downhill.
Right, good on you, mate.
Bye-bye.
The Reverend
bye-bye.
Evan Holland. There he is at 81. What an absolute legend he is. My God, I'd love to read the book. I reckon there'd be some good stuff in that. It's a minute past 11 at Sky.